Hey friends, family in Christ, very important topic today as we're going to talk about anti-Semitism in the end times and how the rise of the world's oldest hatred is paving the way for the Messiah's return. We've got Olivier Melnick back with us next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Well, welcome to another episode. We're so thankful. I am so blessed to be able to speak with the men and women of God that I get to talk to on this program. And I'm just thankful for you guys, for sharing it. It's getting out there, growing like crazy. And that's under God's sovereignty, of course. But thanks to you and your prayers and your support. So I want to give you the website, shalominmessiah.com, shalominmessiah.com. Many of you are new viewers or new listeners in the last several months, and we try to have Olivier as a recurring guest. If you haven't spoken or if you haven't heard him speak, you can go to the website. He also has a YouTube channel, Shalom in Messiah Ministries on YouTube. I see a recent podcast he's done and programs with John Haller, Andy Woods, talking about convergence and all kinds of wonderful topics that are very relevant and timely, especially to the church in America and around the world, I should say. But anyway, brother, welcome. Thank you for your time. It's always good to reconnect.
David, thank you for having me again. Happy to be on your show.
Okay, you're welcome. Before we got on, when I did that little teaser, I didn't say that is the title of your upcoming brand new book, Anti-Semitism in the End Times. And I love the subtitle is wonderful. The World's Oldest Hatred. So paving the way for the Messiah's return. For the newer viewers, Olivier, and listeners, you have an excellent definition of anti-Semitism. Would you please repeat that for those that haven't heard that?
So my definition is like this. Anti-Semitism is the satanic and irrational hatred of Israel and the Jewish people characterized by thoughts, words, and deeds against them. So very important that you understand that it's irrational and it doesn't make any sense. And we're seeing it more and more and more in the recent time. And it's irrational because it's satanic. Only Satan and his demons can make something irrational sound rational. Mm-hmm. And anti-Semitism is also, again, against both Israel as the land and the country and the Jewish people globally. It's a global cancer now. And of course, thoughts, words, and deeds. Anti-Semitism never stops with words. And we've seen that recently, unfortunately.
Okay, so your brand new book is slated to come out October 7. Interesting. And I'm sure you picked that date purposely, right?
Yes, I did. It was actually supposed to come in September, and I thought, let's push it one more month because the day it comes out is the first Tuesday of the month, which happened to be October 7th. And I said, we have to make it that date because it's going to be the second anniversary of the attack by Hamas in Israel. And it's an unfortunately memorable date, and it's very meaningful that the book would come at that time. So, yes.
So let's go back to your definition now. You said satanic and irrational hatred of the Jews. I see you have an American flag there behind you. And I'm thinking of American college campuses. And what was really eye-opening to a lot of us around the country, a lot of us even somewhat informed believers in the biblical worldview and the Judeo-Christian worldview, and we're going, wow, what is going on in America? So when I hear the word irrational, that defines, I would say, a majority of these college students that are up there, you know, pro-Hamas and they're free Palestine. They don't even know why they're there. They just know they are supposed to hate the Jews and they're supposed to protest. Your thoughts on that and how eye-opening that was 2 years ago?
There is actually two sides to that coin, and there's a good and a bad. The bad is that what you just said, basically within a day or two after October 7th, the world turned on Israel like we've never seen before, and the American campuses, U.S. campuses all over, and different various locations around the globe basically started to scream, globalize the Intifada, free Palestine, destroy the IDF, all those very, very toxic, lethal words that became deeds when you see the two Jewish diplomats that were killed a couple of months ago in Washington, D.C., by a man from Chicago, a Hispanic man from Chicago, which really who had no ties to Hamas or the Palestinian cause, ethnically, so to speak. He was just a guy who wanted to push the agenda, and he did, and he killed two Jewish diplomats in D.C. But what's happening on campuses is indeed very irrational. So that's the bad part, the fact that they don't know what they're talking about. They're pushing something that they believe is social justice. And it's, supporting the underdog, so to speak. But in reality, they are pushing a lethal, when they're saying, and they're basically pushing the agenda that they say they're fighting against. They're saying Israel is committing genocide, but they're saying globalize the Intifada, kill all the Jews, Palestine shall be free from the river to the sea, which is basically a euphemism for kill all the Jews in Israel. So they're pushing an agenda that they say they are fighting against. Now, the good side, I said there was a bad and a good. The good side, I found out, I think, yesterday that Columbia University decided to expel all the students that took over the Butler Library at Columbia a few, I think it was in May. They just went in and then, they occupied the library and then started promoting the same nonsensical Palestinian agenda. They all got expelled and their diplomas were revoked. Now, that was a big move, because we haven't seen that yet. And if you start seeing things like this, I think it's going to start making people think, hey, you know what? It's not worth me saying those things against the Jews, because now I lost my diploma that I worked so hard for. So that was a big deal. I didn't really make the news, but that was a big deal. Of course, today we found out that Colombia signed a $220 million settlement with the Trump administration to agreeing that something has to be done to because of all the anti-Semitism and the unsecurity, the all the things that happen against the Jewish people on campus at Columbia. But in one of the article I read, I think it was on JNS, it said that even though they settled for 220 million, they did not accept liability or responsibility. They did not say they were guilty of anything. They just say, we'll pay the fee and see if we can figure out a way to continue doing what we're doing, and not be in trouble with this current administration. So again, it was in what happened in the revoke the diplomas yesterday or the day before. I think it's just because of the pressure and the money they might be losing. There's no genuine contrite change of heart, and that's the bigger problem.
And part of the reason for that is underlying all of this, what we're seeing on the surface and what has, come out is a spiritual battle. This is spiritual warfare. It is spiritual. It is demonic. And it is, regardless of what they do at the top level, the political level, or the financial decisions they make, this ideology, this hatred is deeply entrenched, wouldn't you say, on the college camp, the university campus today across America?
Well, this is, it's going back. This is not something, it didn't happen on October 8th. This is something that has been infecting our American campuses for probably 2 or 3 decades. The indoctrination of our students with very liberal ideologies, and so that they could basically accept the woke agenda and the anti-Israel, anti-Zionist, pro-Palestinian, and in some cases pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist agenda without
Yeah.
questioning anything. So this is something that's been worked on for several decades. This is what we're seeing today, and I just wrote an article on my blog that I posted a couple of days ago. What we're seeing today is in the article on my blog at shalomandmessiah.com. The title is the World Suffering from Israel Derangement Syndrome?
There it is. Yeah,
And
is
this is, by the way, this is AI generated that picture, so this is nobody we know, but it's okay to use AI once in a while for illustrations, okay? I don't want to get go, oh, this is my friend so and so. No, it's just AI, so relax. But the message is there, and by the way, I want to give credit to the person who actually came up with the Israel Derangement Syndrome in the 80s. It was Alan Dershowitz.
That far back?
Yes, and he came up with that. When I found that, I thought, wow, this, it takes us back, about 40 years. Yes, he came up with the term Israel Derangement Syndrome. And of course, today most people are familiar with Trump Derangement Syndrome, but Israel Derangement Syndrome, I think, it needs to be. It was not being used a whole lot, so I thought, you know what, I'll give him credit, but I want to use it to describe what's going on right now, because the irrationality of what's happening. In my article, I put several links to things that people would not even think of, like people putting in Spain, people putting lights on stoplights on streets. When it goes green, it goes free Palestine. When it goes red, it goes kill the Jews. Or I mean, it's just ridiculous. People are sending the message any way they can. And now, yesterday, talking about Spain, yesterday, 50 kids were coming back on a Spanish airplane from Jewish camp, and they were teenagers that apparently actually were very well behaved. And they started to sing. You get kids on the plane on vacation at camp. They started to sing some Hebrew songs, the camp Hebrew songs, and they got they were asked off the plane. They got off the plane. And the lady was actually put in handcuffs, and she was hurt. And there are stuff online on the Times of Israel in different places where basically singing Hebrew songs was too much for the people. And apparently, we found out that in the cockpit, the pilot had a flag of a modern style, modern flag of Palestine. So right now, anything, and that's part of the Israel Derangement Syndrome, anything that is remotely connected to Israel or anything Jewish becomes a reason for people to act against it. And we're going to see more of that, unfortunately.
Okay, let's right there. You said we're going to see more of that, unfortunately. On the front page of your website, there's a quote by Edmund Burke. This is where we come in as Christians. What do we do? How do we respond to this? It says, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." And Dietrich Bonhoeffer famously said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." And there's a picture of a woman holding a sign that says, "Never again." But as you just said, with the high percentages of attacks against Jews, anti-Semitism, this off the charts today, it looks like we're going in that direction, Olivier. Can you speak to that for a moment?
Yes, I often say that a bystander is somebody who just looks and doesn't act. A bystander who does nothing only facilitates the work of a perpetrator, along the line of what Bonhoeffer said, and the other quote, Edmund Burke, that you mentioned. It's a personal thing to me. My grandfather, my father's father, was taken away by the Gestapo and died in Auschwitz. When in the building where I grew up as a kid, where my family lived in the suburbs of Paris. In that building, there were several families, probably about 12 or 16 different families that lived in that U-shaped building on the outskirts of Paris. And every single tenant, when the Gestapo came to get my grandfather, they basically stayed behind their shutters in their apartment, looking at what was happening, and did nothing. And he was taken, and he ended up in Auschwitz, and he died in the camps. So, and that's just one of 6 million when you think about it. So we have this motto, as Jews, that kind of came to life after the Holocaust, I think in like the late 40s, never again, as a reference to the Holocaust, let's not allow this to happen again. And here we are. I'm starting to believe that where we are right now, because of the internet and because of the globalization of this anti-Semitism, because of the internet and because of the existence of the State of Israel, I think we are either currently, or maybe we already have, surpassing the 30s and the 40s. Outside of having camps to kill the Jews like we did in Auschwitz, which the world could probably try if they had the chance to do it, we are in the hatred against the Jews and the globalization and the demonization of the Jews. I think we're surpassing the 30s and 40s.
That's a sobering comment you just made. We've got to take a brief pause. We're with Olivier Melnick. The book can be pre-ordered on Amazon. Anti-Semitism in the End Times. We'll be right back.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Hey, friends, we're so thankful for all the new listeners and viewers to the podcast Worldview Matters. And I want you to go, if you're new to our platforms, especially our website and the recent episodes, I want you to go look up Olivier Melnick on our website, worldviewmatters.tv. You can now search your favorite guest, or if you want to go get back stories, back archives, there it is, Olivier Melnick. You type that into the search bar, you scroll down, and here we go. All the episodes that we've done in the past with Olivier, there we go. And it keeps going. I think, I don't know, there's at least a half a dozen. Look at that. I mean, they're very similar, but there's a different information shared in each one. But now this one, we're talking about a brand new book that's coming out, available on Amazon. And specifically, he wants that to come out October 7. But you can pre-order that now, Anti-Semitism in the End Times. So tell us more about the book, Olivia. Did you condense some of your other books, or is it get updated information? What did you do in putting this together?
My major work on anti-Semitism until that book was this one, End Times Anti-Semitism. I believe you have a copy of it.
Yes.
And it was a work that I think it stopped in 2000, end of 2017. So we're looking at 8 more years or 7 more years of work. This version is a major update from the other one, with about at least 30% new material, and it takes us to the end of 2024. So it definitely covers October 7, 2023, and how really, beyond the shadow of a doubt, October 7, 2023 changed everything for Israel and for the Jewish people. This October 7, 2023 was a turning point, a point of no return for Jews globally. And it has proven to be even more so day by day.
Yeah, and we're seeing that in the news, as you mentioned. But I want to go back to something on the description on the Amazon page. It says, Anti-Semitism in the End Times provides a roadmap for Christians seeking to understand and confront this age-old prejudice. Let's stop right there, Olivier. Before we run out of time here, how do we get – now, this might be a silly question for some mature Bible-believing Christians, but how do we get more churches and more Christians to understand the support that believers should have for Israel? How do we get that into the churches? Because this aren't we missing something there?
The answer, if you really want the real answer, it's 3 words. You ready?
Yes.
Read your Bible.
So profound. It can't be that simple.
It is that simple. It is that simple. If you read, no, David, seriously, if you read your Bible from a literal, grammatical, historical, consistent hermeneutics,
Yes.
which other people might call dispensationalism or dispensationalist, but really without, scaring people away with words that they don't understand, but they don't want to be connected with, consistent, literal, grammatical, historical context, you get the idea that Israel is in God's plan. I mean, after all, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, has 11 chapters for mankind and 39 chapters out of 50, 39 chapters to explain the patriarchs of Israel and the 12 tribes and the whole history of the Israel and several of the covenants that God made with the Jewish people that are still in place today. So it's critical to understand that God has a plan for the Jews, a plan for Israel. It does not give Jewish people automatic salvation by virtue of being Jews. No, they still need to put their trust in the death and resurrection of Yeshua of Nazareth for their salvation. But this being said, Israel is going to be in God's plan all throughout the ages, and so much so at the end of the 7-year tribulation, when the Jewish people say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, those who have survived the tribulation look up and say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is you, comes in the name of the Lord. That's when Yeshua, Jesus, returns, establishes the messianic millennial kingdom. And Satan knows that when Jesus returns, he's not going to become Jesus' assistant. He's going to be thrown in the lake of fire and brimstone. He doesn't want to go there. So, hey, if the Jews don't call Jesus, Jesus doesn't come back. Let's work on that. And he's been working on that for thousands of years. And
So,
that's why anti-Semitism is there.
a lot of people in the church just, they blanket everything with Genesis 12:3. As important as that verse and that contextual idea is, that God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. What you said is very important a few seconds ago. The covenants. How many times in the Bible does God mention an everlasting covenant? Right? I mean, this means like a forever covenant. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Right. There are eight covenants in the Bible, five of them made with Israel, three made with mankind. Of the five made with Israel, four are unconditional and eternal. The one that's not eternal and conditional is the Mosaic Covenant. It's the law. It's a discipline for disobedience, blessing for obedience. All the others, the Abrahamic, which is the foundation for much of the Bible, the Abrahamic, the Lynn Covenant, the Davidic Covenant, and the New Covenant, all those four are connected, and they're all unconditional and eternal. Unconditional means nothing that Israel has to do is going to change that covenant. God made the covenant with Israel by saying, not if you will, I will. That would be unconditional. But he simply said, I will, by my name, I will, because of my name, I will. And so that makes it very different because it's based on God's character and not Israel's performance. Thank God for that. So when people come in and try to push the false doctrine of replacement theology and say, well, God said that, but now, obviously, since the Jews blew it, rejected Jesus, he has passed on the blessings onto the church. And by the way, just the blessings, not the curses. That's for that. That's just a little side
Another
note.
podcast,
Yes,
right?
right. He has passed on the blessings onto the church, and Israel has been rejected. Then you make God into a covenant breaker, which he cannot be, because God doesn't lie. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We get that from Scripture, from Hebrews, and you make him into a liar. So you cannot do that. Those covenants, the covenants are critical. They're foundational. If you understand the covenants of the Bible, you will get much of the Bible, and you'll see that Israel is through all the Bible, and you not only cannot ignore the Jewish people, but you're going to start loving them because you want to be in God's will.
Amen. Back to those three words you had me at. Read your Bible. So Olivier, 3 minutes left in the book there. You say this long-standing hatred has taken on its most insidious and lethal form yet. What did you mean by that?
It's well, basically, it is the right now we're seeing a convergence of anti-Semitism, and it is that all the signs are coming together where anti-Semitism in the end times is becoming lethal. And it's the final push by Satan, basically, to get rid of the Jews so that Jesus won't come back. And Christians need to go to the Jewish friends and say, "I'm here for you. I will, if I need to shelter you, help you, feed you." Just, a modern day version of the sheep and the goat that will take place during the tribulation. We can act on that today.
So really quick, you mentioned something before we got on the podcast. Sorry, we only have 2 minutes left about France and this declaration. Could you really mention that real quick?
Yes. Well, what's happening is I just got that like today. Emmanuel Macron made an official statement saying that in September, at the General Assembly of the United Nations in New York, takes place every year, France will officially declare. Recognize Palestine as a nation, not the Palestinian Authority that we've called it, which it is right now. But Macron, it basically is, I think, inviting the rest of the world to say, "Let's recognize Palestine. Join me in this." He's making, and I could be wrong on that. It's just a guess of mine that he's making that official. He didn't have to talk about it, but by saying this right now, he's giving a chance to all those who want to do the same at the United Nations to join forces and say, "Hey, it's not just France. It's a lot of countries." But France has a lot of weight. It's a big country. It's a, you know, they're, you know. So we'll see. That's to be
Something,
followed, to be
yes,
continued.
something to keep an eye out for. Olivier, thank you again for all your work. ShalomInMessiah.com. Friends, make sure to go to Amazon and check out. You can pre-order Anti-Semitism in the End Times. Brother, thank you for your voice. Thank you for all you do. Lord willing, we'll do this again in the near future.
Thank you for having me.
You're most welcome. Friends, thank you for sharing the podcast. Look up past episodes with Olivier at worldviewmatters.tv. God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.